Invite you to take a Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you're using the Pew Bible, you're going to be on page 811. And I would just say, as excited as I am about a full choir loft, I'm also really excited about these steps up here being full during a children's sermon. Those of you who haven't done it, you should sit close to the front, if nothing else, so you can get a better view of what's happening down there. But the Lord, so gracious to us, y'all, for us to have that many small children in our church, and we should not miss sight of how great that is. And for all those who are working so hard, even now, to help them grow in their faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 16. Paul writes, "Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Is there anything in your life that you have experienced and it's brought you joy and contentment, hope, meaning, purpose, that you this week would do anything in your power to get on my calendar and to sit down and to convince me to try it for myself? I want you to think about that. Is there anything that you would go to such lengths to share with me? Broaden the question. Is there anything that you've experienced in life that you would do anything, go anywhere, give anything for every person on the face of the planet to experience it? Have you had an entree at a restaurant that you think you got to do this before you die? Have you visited some location and you had so much fun with your family that you would say, you got to go to this place? Have you been to a concert that you just were overwhelmed at what you experienced and you're like, oh, so you've got to do this, Splon, go. Anything on your list? As I've thought about that question and as I've posed it to others this week, I've arrived at two conclusions. Most of us don't have anything to put on that list. Second conclusion, we would love to. We would love to have something that brought us such joy and hope and peace and contentment that we would do crazy things like barge into someone's office and say, whatever you got to do, stop, clear your calendar, go do this thing. And I wonder, are those two statements true of you? I must admit that most days they're true of me. Most days as I think about what have I experienced that was just like, oh, I got to share this with somebody now. And I want to. And I would argue that so much of our lives are filled with a search for that thing. To go to that place or to eat that thing or to see that thing, hoping that we'll find it. One of the things that even as late as this morning as I was reading Proverbs, what day is it? 8th? It was Proverbs chapter 8. And the author of Proverbs chapter 8 is pleading with his audience to say, please get wisdom. It's brought me such joy and meaning and purpose in life. It's more valuable than any money you're ever going to get. Like, that's the kind of sense that I want in my heart more about things that I want to share with other people that are that beautiful and meaningful. And then ask yourself the question, what might your life look like if you found it? What might your life look like if you discovered that thing that you really wanted everybody in the world to experience? And when I read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I think Paul gives us a picture of what that looks like. That the Apostle Paul had discovered something in the gospel of Jesus Christ that was so profound and overwhelming and joyful that he simply had to share it with other people. And he was willing to do just about anything to make it happen. Now, I want to start this morning. Look at the end of the passage that I read to you. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 23. Paul says, I do it all for the sake of the gospel. So everything that's come before this, I do all of that stuff for the sake of the gospel. Why? That I may share with them in its blessings. The Apostle Paul found in the blessings of the gospel something that was so great that he had to share it with everybody he could. And what did he have in mind, do you think, when he talks about the blessings of the gospel? Well, I'm sure we could have conferences. I'm sure we could write lots of books and papers if we were to list all the blessings of the gospel. But I wanted to just highlight two this morning that struck me as I was thinking about it this week. Turn in your Bibles back to Romans chapter 3. If you work through the book of Romans, chapters 1 and chapter 2, Paul is trying to convince you that you need Jesus. He's trying to convince you that you can't earn anything from the Lord and you can't be deemed righteous by obeying the law well enough. I showed a group in my Wednesday night group that Mark and I do. We're going through Romans. And I showed them a video of this guy. You can find it on Instagram, I'm sure, YouTube. And he's like doing jiu-jitsu or something. And he gets these three baseball bats. And he like leans back on them. And they go... And I said, that's it. Paul's trying to point out our sin and our need for the Lord to the degree that we finally see that all we can do is tap out and give up. That all of our efforts to be made righteous in our own power and strength will always fail us. And the goal is not to try harder, but it's to tap out and give up and say, Lord, I can't do this. And Paul had tried to do it. Go read Philippians chapter 3 when he gives his resume. He says, I was born to the right people in the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was a Pharisee when it came to the law. Any righteousness under the law, he was what? Blameless. But I think, and again, I'm going to psychoanalyze Paul from 2026, which is dangerous to do, admittedly. But I think Paul was such a hard, driving, passionate person that he wanted to justify himself. And he looked back at all those things that made him awesome in the eyes of the world. But I still think Paul had to lay in his bed at night and look at the ceiling. And I think there was a part of Paul deep down that he knew all that stuff wasn't enough. But there was this lingering doubt within his mind if he was ever enough, which I think fueled him to try harder. And when he came to know Jesus Christ, he learned that the law was only meant to show him his need for Jesus. And when Jesus came, Paul describes it like this in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There's a righteousness of God that's been revealed apart from the law. Thanks be to God, because by works of the law, nobody will be justified. Zero. Right? And when Paul came to realize this truth, that it wasn't about his effort or his pedigree, he could not earn anything though he tried, I think Paul experienced this peace that he had longed for all his life in Jesus, and it overwhelmed him, and he wanted others to know it. That he had finally understood how it is that he was going to be made right with the Lord and the peace that he could experience. And when he knew that, other people need to experience this. Other people need to understand that it's not about their striving or their effort or where they're from or what they've done, but salvation and peace with God is all about what Jesus has done on our behalf so that we can rest. And some of us in this room, that sounds really good, right? That we want to rest. So the good news of the gospel is that through Jesus, we can. Here's a second blessing that I thought about this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Feel free to flip over there if you want. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's Paul's longest discussion of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he's addressing this issue that was kind of prevalent within the church in Corinth, that there were people who were questioning whether or not the resurrection was real. Was Jesus raised from the dead? And Paul engages with this topic or this truth very passionately, because for Paul, he understood that everything in Christianity is at stake here. Paul would say, if there is no resurrection, then all of us, we're still in our sins. And if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, then guess what? We're not going to be either. So eat, drink, and be merry, friends, because this is all there is, Paul would say. Right? But then he says, because there is a resurrection, we too are going to be raised from the dead. That we have this hope that transcends the grave. That apart from resurrection hope, I think I would be like the person that wrote Ecclesiastes. I think I would be like, what does it matter? Everything's vain. Right? And Paul says, not so fast for those of us who believe in a resurrected Jesus. Right? Because we believe that we too are going to be raised from the dead. And listen to what he says at the end of 1 Corinthians 15. This is so good. Listen to what he says, verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, right, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Because of the resurrection hope that we have in Jesus, our lives are not in vain. When we think about passing away from this earth when we die one day, as followers of Jesus, we can look at that moment not in utter despair, but in hope and joy and peace, knowing that the things that we've done for the kingdom of God, they will endure. They will last. Paul's given us a lot of other things, but for the sake of time, I'll stop myself at those two. That in the gospel of Jesus, we can be reconciled and receive a righteousness that we could never earn in our own power or strength. We can be at peace with God. And we have resurrection hope beyond the grave. Are those things that are so good that they're worth sharing? Are those things so beautiful and profound and true and meaningful that our only reasonable response is to share it with everybody we can? Every man, woman, child, boy, girl on the face of the planet would find this to be good news. Paul said yes. He said, yes. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he highlights some things. He says, I'm free. That in Jesus Christ, I am free. I can do things like get married. I can do things like eat and drink whatever I want. I can do things like get paid for my ministry. All of these are rights of mine. I can make use of these rights. I'm free from everybody else's expectations for who I ought to be or what I ought to do. But he goes on in 1 Corinthians 9 and he says, but I don't make use of these rights. Now, you talk about something that is countercultural. I have the right to do these things. And as good Americans, one of the things we love the most is our what? Our rights! Yeah. We're free to do certain things. And Paul says, yeah, that's true. I'm free. I don't have to do these things. However, I would rather endure anything rather than put an obstacle in someone's way to hearing the message of Jesus. I'll endure anything. I'll not get married. I'll keep making tents. I'll not get paid for this ministry. I'll not eat meat. That's how I feel when I read that. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'll not do all of those things if it means that I might reach somebody else with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when I compare those things, this mission of helping other people know Jesus wins every time. So he says here, though I'm free from all in verse 19, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew. Whatever cultural things they had going on, fine, I'll do that, if that means you're going to hear the gospel. To those who were not under the law, whatever their cultural things were, fine, I'm in. Yeah, I'll watch soccer. If luge is your thing, luge is my thing, baby. Right? Whatever it is to then kind of get closer. If I can't eat barbecue, right, I'll do it. If that might mean that I get more of a hearing for the gospel from you, then I'll do that. I have become all things to all people that by some means I might save some of them. Should Christians be people pleasers? It's a tricky question, is it not? You're like, no, we should be firm in the truth. Right? Well, okay, yes. But in another respect, perhaps we should be people pleasers. Of the things that are secondary, of the things that ultimately aren't essential things to the gospel, if they get in the way of people hearing the gospel, then I'll put those things aside. I want to challenge you this week. The way that you move into obedience from a text in a sermon like this is not to start with self-resolve of all the things that you're going to give up that other people might hear the gospel. The place to start is to ask the Lord to impress upon your heart that the blessings of the gospel are more satisfying and joyful than anything else you're ever going to experience in life. Ask the Lord to make those things true in your heart. I want you to, that's where I'm starting. You don't have to twist my arm to tell you about the best chocolate chip cookies in Birmingham. I'll just do it. You don't have to twist my heart if the Bears win a big game to tell you about it. I did it. There is a joy that flows out once I experience and see things that just kind of happens. And so the place to start is for these things to be true and beautiful to us. And maybe just those two, you start with those and say, Lord, help me to find joy and peace and happiness in the reality that I've been reconciled to you through faith in Jesus. Allow that to be beautiful and true and deep and meaningful in my life. Second, help me understand and lean into and believe this resurrection hope that I have. And then I just want you to simply see the people that are in your path and ask the Lord to give you opportunities to share in those things with them. And ask the Lord to give you a zeal and a passion to like put your rights secondary to this mission. And the thing that I think will happen is that our lives become transformed. And now something like work or golf or curling or tennis or any of the things that you love in life, music, concerts, all those things can now be transformed into opportunities to build bridges and to give meaning to people who desperately want it in Jesus. So let's pray to that end, that the Lord would help us understand that we do in Jesus have something to share, and that we would give everything that we have with whatever time that we have to help other people share in those blessings. I want you to pray with me. Father, thank you for your kindness to us. Thank you for people that you've called out that have seen into the beauties of the gospel in ways that perhaps we haven't yet. That Paul was willing to be considered crazy in declaring the gospel, that he had such a heart that others would become as he had become in Jesus, yet without those chains. And Lord, we pray that that would be true of us, that we would long for others to become as we are in you. Give us greater joy and meaning and purpose in you. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you feel like the Lord's calling you to make a public profession of faith in Jesus or to unite with us and be a member here at Mountain Brook Baptist Church, I'll be at the front to receive you. Or if you need to respond by standing or singing or praying, just where you are, however God leads you to respond, I invite you to do so as we stand together.